Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 8. In verse 29, the Word of God says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." The word glorify there is edoxasen, and it's an aorist active indicative. The active voice means that God is the one who did the glorifying of the person that he called. The aorist tense means that it's a timeless reality. Now, this passage is not so much talking about our salvation alone. Salvation is simply a very superficial, elementary understanding of this passage. It's much deeper than that. This passage is talking about the finished work. What we have to understand is that whom he predestinated, he called. That is a finished work. It's a done deal. We don't usually have problems with that. But whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, he glorified. Whom he justified, he glorified. What this is saying is that it's an entirely finished work. It is an entirely finished work. Let me ask you something. Ask yourself this in your own minds. Is truth found in your position or in your experience? Is truth found in your position or in your experience? Now by position, I mean position before God, what God has declared. Is truth found in your position or in your experience? Sometimes we gauge the finished work according to our experience. You see this often. They're so oriented to their experience, they'll say things like, "The Bema seat is coming, now let's kick in and do our best. We better get busy for God. The Bema seat is coming. We're going to meet God in eternity. Don't waste your time. You better be working hard for Him." That's an understanding of the finished work based in your experience, but not in your position. In your position, if you have been justified, and we usually don't have problems with that, we understand the finished work for justification, but this part we miss. If you have been justified, you've already been glorified. The Bema Seat is not about your works. Your works will never be brought up at the Bema Seat. Not for positive, not for negative. Now I understand it says we'll answer to God for things done in our body. But it doesn't mean our works. Now, Hebrews 4:3 says, "They which have believed do enter into rest." They which have believed enter into rest. And then it continues later in the verse, "The works were finished from the foundation of the world." Now, the works were finished, the term finished is the aorist passive again. It's a timeless reality. We don't produce the finishing of the works. The works don't produce the finishing of the works. God produces the finishing of the works. Now, the other part of the grammar there is that it's a genitive case of origin. There's a genitive case of origin. What does that mean? That the finished work is the origin. Finished work is the origin. That's what the world was founded on. That's what completes the work, if you will. It's the finished work that's the origin. What this is telling us is that we simply rest in our position. By resting in our position, I don't mean that we're inactive. By resting in our position, I mean that we have a peaceful disposition toward our place with God. That we are confident toward our place with God. We are confident in what God has done on our behalf, but not only unto salvation, not only unto justification, but also for our entire eternity, we are confident in what God has accomplished on our behalf. The finished work does not end with time. The finished work starts to be manifested with time. But the finished work is an eternal reality. Really, it has to be an eternal reality because, number one, it comes out of eternity. And number two, it's the reason why we are in heaven for eternity. But we like to limit it to simply salvation or simply justification before God. We don't see it as influencing the Bema Seat, because after all, the Bema Seat is up to what we do, is it not? I mean, we don't get rewarded for what we didn't do. Here's the thing. What I did or what I didn't do has no bearing on the Bema Seat. The Bema Seat is an entirely different evaluation, and it's a finished work evaluation, as everything with God is. To say, well, what if I didn't do the things God wanted me to do? Well, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and all my sins have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb in Revelation 1:5. It seems to me whenever I operated outside of faith, that's been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. God will not remember those things in Hebrews 8:12. If He doesn't remember them, how can He possibly bring them up? And so it's not going to be an issue of anything that I've done. It's entirely an issue of the finished work, including my Bema Seat experience. In Galatians 3:2, the Word of God says, and this is Paul speaking to the Galatians, and he's kind of being a little bit sarcastic to them, a little bit annoyed with them. And he says to the Galatians, and this is just after he called them foolish Galatians, and he says to them, "Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you are now made perfect by the flesh?" Are you really made perfect by the flesh? Are you made complete by the flesh? The word there, perfect, is epiteliste. It's a present middle indicative. Middle voice means that by your own action you receive some form of benefit. And the words there mean fulfilled further. Do you think by anything that you can do, you can be further fulfilled by the energy of the flesh? By what it is that you do, what you accomplish? By whether you're good or bad or whatever you want to call it? Has nothing to do with anything, including at the Bema Seat. You see, if I'm going to go by being a good guy to the Bema Seat, and really, this is kind of the way we think, even if we say we don't, we kind of do, because we see somebody who's a total jerk, and we might think, to ourselves, well, it's going to be rough for the Bema Seat at you, buddy. But you know what? It's not how God does it. God doesn't remember anything that I did that was any form of a mistake. God will never remember those things. The Word of God says if God would mark iniquity, who could stand? God will never remember those things. So what does God test me on? Well, He tests me in the finished work. In Romans 8:32, the Word of God says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Now that word give, charisatai, it's a future middle. It's a future tense. It's not here on earth, it's in the future. This is a Bema Seat verse. And the word give us, it refers to the Bema Seat. And if it referred to time, it wouldn't be future. It would be aorist or perfect or present, but it would not be future. And the word actually means, how much more will He grace us with all things? Well, in Ephesians 2, didn't the Word of God say that for eternity He will give us the riches of His grace and kindness? He'll give us the riches of His grace and kindness. Again, we're talking about eternity. And so our eternity, even our position at the Bema Seat, is determined by the finished work. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not evaluated. But remember, we're not evaluated in the case of judgment. People call it the judgment seat, but that's a misnomer. Judgment of that sort in the Greek is the word krino. Well, krino is the evaluation. But the word there for judgment seat of Christ is not krino, it's bima. It's an elevated platform from which the leader, the governor or Caesar or whoever would make declarations or proclamations or address people or basically do the things that are official. In our case, it's the place we go to receive our rewards. Now, yes, we are tested. Yes, our works are tested by fire. But let's continue here. It says in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Again, that's future. Who's going to come forth as an accuser, literally, to charge God's elect? The word charge is kata, and it means down from, and it's saying, who shall accuse regarding anything coming from God's elect? It's God who justifies. Justify, dikainon, present active participle, render righteous, or as he ought to be. Now, if I'm rendered righteous, or as I ought to be by God, that's not talking about just in time. If I'm rendered righteous, or as I ought to be by God, it's talking about eternal. It's an eternal reality. It's, again, talking about the bema seat. In Romans 8:34, who can condemn? It's God who justifies. Even at the bema seat, we will not be condemned. It is an entirely finished work, including future, including eternity. It is an entirely finished work. This is how it works. Hebrews 11:36. We build on a foundation, that is the foundation that God establishes for us, with gold, silver, or precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. And these are the things that are tested by fire. Obviously, wood, hay, and stubble burns, and gold, silver, and precious stones do not. When does the fire take place? The fire takes place in time. The fire does not take place in heaven. The fire takes place in time. In time, if we are operating with gold, silver, and precious stones, those will go on. But if we are operating with wood, hay, and stubble, in time, those things will burn up. And we won't enter into eternity with wood, hay, and stubble, because it will be burned. We'll enter into eternity with gold, silver, and precious stones, because they are not burned. Now, gold speaks of faith. Anytime that I have a faith response, I receive a reward. It doesn't even matter what it's toward. Things may seem kind of almost trivial, but they're still faith responses. And God says, for those faith responses, you receive a reward. You go out there and you simply trust God for something. It doesn't have to be big. God, can you help me with this? And God helps you with it. And that's the end of it. And you don't think much more about it. You say, thanks, God, I really needed that. And that's where you kind of forget about it. But eternity has it written down in the book of remembrance. And that book's going to be open. And God said, you had faith here. And you say, God, I don't even remember it. He said, well, it's written right here. It's gold. Silver is when I have the Word of God in my frame of reference, the Word of redemption, the finished work, full categorical doctrine, finished work. The categories of doctrine are established in the finished work. Do we understand that? The entire Bible is established in the finished work. When the Bible, when the Word of God and categorical doctrine are my frame of reference and the finished work is that foundation for the frame of reference, then I have silver. And I have silver. The Word of God says that the word of the wise is a silver. Then I have silver. Word in my frame of reference. Then, of course, precious stones speaks of the fruit of the Spirit manifested in the body of Christ. When I love in the body of Christ. When I have self-control, that's one. Temperance, people don't often think of that one. They don't like that one so much. When I have self-control in the body of Christ. When I'm patient in the body of Christ. And I reproduce those things within the body of Christ because I am the body of Christ and they've been reproduced in me by the Holy Spirit. And I have precious stones. Those things do not wear away. But you see, those things are not things of production. Those things are things of the heart. Faith is not something I produce. Faith is something I receive through the Word of God. Silver, the Word of God in my frame of reference is not something I can produce. It's something that the Holy Spirit produces in me. The precious stones is simply the reproduction of the Holy Spirit's fruit in me and then through me. You know what I'm rewarded on? What I let God do for me. God wants to do for us. God wants to give to us. But it's not just in time, it's for eternity. And when I allow God to do for me, or when I allow God to give me something, He rewards me in eternity for me allowing Him to give to me. Can you imagine that? Right, it's like this. You buy a lottery ticket, don't buy a lottery ticket, we don't believe in gambling, but people buy lottery tickets anyway. You buy a lottery ticket and all of a sudden you won $10 million and you go to the lottery office and you say, okay, I won, give me my $10 million. And you say, are you happy to receive it? I say, I'm delighted to receive $10 million. Okay, we'll give you $10 million more just because you let us give you that $10 million. It's like that with God. God says, are you happy that I gave you something? Will you trust me to give you something? Will you trust me to love you? Will you trust me to restore you? Will you trust me to pick you up? Will you trust me to help you? I said, yes, God. Great. I will bless you even more because you have allowed me to bless you. And this one will be for eternity. That's what the Bema seat looks like. Now, yeah, there are some people who will suffer loss, and no doubt some people are saying to them, well, some people are going to walk away ashamed, aren't they? Well, let's put it this way. You always get several lottery winners. Some guys win $5. So I think there's a lottery prize. I'm not sure. It's like you get another ticket. So you get somebody, okay, somebody wins $10 million, and you come into the lottery office at the same time and you got your little ticket and you just had like half the numbers or whatever it takes. And the one guy says, ah, here's your 10 million. Ah, here's your 25 cents. And you're kind of standing next to the guy who won 10 million and you go, well, I won 25 cents. That's good, isn't it? Sort of. Yeah, it's good. It's not as good as the 10 million. But you still won. And so you come out with this feeling of, oh, I wish I had won the 10 million. But at least I mean, you didn't lose. But the Bema seat is kind of like that. That's what it means to be ashamed at the Bema seat. It's not ashamed, like walk around in shame. It's to be disappointed. You were hoping for more than you got. And at the Bema seat, I imagine there's going to be a great deal of anticipation of reward as we go up to the Bema seat. And we stand before God and we're anticipating some kind of reward. And some people will exceed their expectations and some people may fall short over their expectations. But nobody is going to be humiliated as the natural man gets humiliated. You see, sometimes we have this strange concept of heaven and the Bema seat and what the soul is really like and what's going to take place. And we think of God as though He's a man, but He has nothing to do with being a man except for making men. He's God. He's different. He doesn't humiliate. He doesn't cause us to be ashamed in that sense. That's really just an unfortunate translation. It really means some will be disappointed, but others will be magnificently rewarded. And they'll be disappointed because perhaps they didn't have the gold and they didn't have the silver and they didn't have the precious stones. They really operated more with wood, hay, and stubble. But it's still a finished work. You see, how are you going to test someone when it's a finished work? When there's no production necessary? You can't test their production because no production is sufficient nor necessary. What you will test is their response. And in their response, some responded well, and others did not. And the ones who responded well don't lose anything in that regard. They don't lose their salvation. They don't lose their place with God. What they do is they don't get what they could have. But they don't lose what they do have. So then there is no real loss at the Bema Seat. There's simply, you didn't receive what you could have had. But you won't lose anything that you did have. That's why it says, for example, if you give a couple the cold water in the name of a disciple, you will in no wise lose your reward. It's yours. You can't lose what you have. You may not get what you didn't have. At the Bema Seat, the name of the game is gold, silver, and precious stones. Responding to God. Now, sometimes that's not going to be possible. Sometimes we respond to God and we say to ourselves, well, God, why aren't you coming through for me? And we get very confused and perplexed and we get frustrated and we get anxious and we start to question ourselves. But we have to understand something. Even though we may be praying and God doesn't answer the prayer and we say to ourselves, well, maybe I don't have enough faith, or maybe I'm doing something wrong, or maybe there's sin in my life. But God says something else in Hebrews 11:39. He says, those people that suffered the scourgings and the beatings and the terrible poverty, and they were stoned and sawn asunder and temptation and trial, and all these terrible things happened to them, and they were tormented. And the world wasn't worthy of these people, it says. And then it says that all of these people, having obtained a good report through faith, did not receive the promise. But then there was a good reason for that. That they should not be made perfect apart from us. In verse 35, they receive a better resurrection. Because if they don't receive the promise right there and then, and the promise comes through us and not through them, then they get all of our rewards as well as their own. And we get all their rewards as well as our own. You see, it is, in fact, a completely finished work, where the body of Christ is not a body of Christ that is simply locked in this point of time, but it's an eternal body. Where the cells in the arm may be different, but the arm is the same. And it gets all that an arm receives, whether the cells have changed or not. And so a believer 2,000 years ago said, I was an arm, and I can say, I was an arm, and we get the same reward as the arm, because we're both the body of Christ. The Bema Seat is much different than the way sometimes we anticipate. You see, it is an entirely finished work, Bema Seat included. It is an entirely finished work. And if we pray and if we trust God for promises and God doesn't seem to come through for us, it's not that He doesn't come through for us. It's only in time that we don't receive it, so that we may receive a better resurrection. So that our rewards may be greater. So our status in heaven may be greater. Our position in heaven may be greater. And so there's a purpose for that also. Remember something. This life is not the end all. This life is the beginning. There is no end. But there is a beginning. And that's the life that we now live. When we get into eternity, really we reach the point of, you could say, maturity. We don't end at eternity, we begin there. And eternity will actually contain our lives. And the finished work is the foundation for all of it, including our rewards. So now we're simply challenged by this one thing. Will you trust me, says God. Will you trust me? And there's the Bema Seat. Will you trust me? Now that includes faith responses, but includes having the Word of God in my frame of reference. It includes the production of the fruit of the Spirit. And sometimes it does include suffering. Because suffering gives me the character of God in 1 John 5:3. Suffering is that light affliction that brings that eternal weight of glory in 2 Corinthians 4:17. Suffering is why we reign. Suffering is why we reign. And so we say, maybe I don't have enough faith. And the answer is, maybe it's not a question of your faith. Maybe it's God preparing you for something that you can't even imagine. Know this, that if you are going through some form of suffering, some form of tribulation or trial, and if you're not in sin, but you're walking in light as best as you know how, as best as you can, not perfect, but as best you can, then your trial is not chastisement. Your trial is promotion. It is an entirely finished work. It really is. It's an entirely finished work. When Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good, it's not really talking about time. In time, they may not work together for good. In time, you get somebody who's got cancer, it's terminal, and they suffer for years, and then they die of it. How does that work together for good? Well, if time is your orientation, you certainly won't be able to see it. But if eternity is your orientation, then it's obvious. You obtain a better resurrection. And a better resurrection really is, you obtain a better life. This notion of production, being active, work very hard, do it, get busy for God. That is a total experiential mentality, but it has very little to do with the finished work position that God has given us. The Bema Seat is established on the entire finished work, not on my experience, but on the position that God has given me. My position is eternal. My experience is temporal. And since we are seated above in heavenly places at the right hand of God, we live in eternity. So the position is the reality that we rest in. Amen?